minutes. But for the next 10 minutes, I want to talk to you about something a little different here. And that is something called one-verse evangelism. Everybody can share their faith. And I'm going to show you something that you'll never forget. You don't even have to. As long as you pay attention, you'll never forget. You don't even have to take notes. But this is I found this on the Navigator site as well. And it was a blessing to me. There's a lot of ways to share your faith. We've got different. We got EE. We got faith. We got four spiritual laws. We got the Roman road. We got all kind of different ways. This is. We're going to call this OVE. And for one verse evangelism. And the verse is Romans 6:23. Anybody know that verse? Bible says. Yeah, for the wages of sin is death. I can't talk and write at the same time. All right, so for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Believe it or not, you can sum up the entire Bible with that verse right there. There's nothing else you need to lead somebody to Christ other than that verse. Now, you could do it with John 3:16, I suppose. But this one really completes it. I mean, you're going to be able to remember every single point I tell you over the next 10 minutes here. Imagine yourself sitting down with somebody and you are having a conversation. You talk about the weather, you talk about the sports. And because you're able to steer the conversation toward weather easily, and because you're able to steer the conversation towards a sports game easily, you ought to be able to steer the conversation towards spiritual things easily as well. You're in control of your half of the conversation, and you can start talking about spiritual things. It should not be a problem. There are all kinds of segues to get into spiritual topics. And you might ask, would you like to see how the entire Bible can be summed up in one verse? And that's going to pique somebody's interest. Sure. Okay? And so you get your napkin out, and you write this on the napkin. Okay? And this ought to be an easy memory verse to remember. But you certainly remember Romans 6:23. It's quoted all the time from the pulpit. But you start out, and typically, I mean, there's a couple of ways to do it. You've seen the gap where you have two cliffs. You got a cliff with man on one side and a cliff with God on the other side. It goes like this, where there's a big cliff like this, and you got the fires of hell coming up right here, and then you got man on this side and God over here, and man's trying to get across here, but he can't make it, you know, and then you use the cross to bridge that gap right here, and Jesus Christ is that cross. And of course you can then put wages and sin and death and God, gift and eternal life over here and use that illustration. The one I actually like a little bit better is a takeoff on Bill Bright's Four Spiritual Laws, the illustration that he uses. And basically, it's that you've got God up in heaven, who created everything, and you've got man down here on the earth, and I is me, right there. And there's a gulf that separates us right here. Sometimes we feel like we're moving closer to God, right? And, you know, we might start a daily quiet time or get our prayer life right and everything. But it always seems like we fall short, okay? And a matter of fact, we never make it. And you can start in this verse, and basically you can talk about every word of this verse, every key word of this verse, the wages right here. So you write wages down. And you talk about, and you know what wages are. What are wages? You can ask the person that question. They can tell you. It's where you earn something for what work you did. Okay? And it says the wages of sin is death. And so death is what we earn because of what we do with sin. Okay? And so wages is pretty easy to talk about. It's something just getting what you deserve, right? Wages are getting what you deserve. And here's sin right here. Wages of sin. And notice the middle letter of sin. It's I. It's all about me. It's all about, you know, personal selfishness and so forth. And so sin is what? You can ask anybody that question. And that's the second key word over here. What is sin? And basically, you can go down the whole litany. I mean, lying, stealing, cheating, disobeying parents, thought life, failing to do things that you know you ought to do. All these things are sin. Basically, sin is anything that doesn't please God. And you can make that point right there. And then what you earn as a result of sin, the Bible says, is death. And so you talk about what death is. And death is, you know, why do we cry at a funeral? Because we're going to miss our loved one, right? Why do we miss them? Because we are separated from them. They're no longer here with us. We believe they've gone to heaven, but they're no longer here with us. And so the crying, the tears are because of the separation, because we'll not see them again here on this earth. And separation is the key word for death. And so death really is a spiritual sort of thing. When the Bible talks about death, it's separation from God. Okay, so death is separation from God. And so that's what death is. And then the best word in this whole little illustration right here is the word but. Because what does but signify? Here's the bad news. The wages of sin is death. But. That's a very hopeful word. But. The gift of God is eternal life. So that's the turning point of this verse. The gift of God is eternal life. And so notice where gift, you know, you can talk about gift because it's right here in your verse. Your whole outline, every point of your what you're going to talk to them about is a key word in that verse. And so what is a gift? You know, is a gift, I mean, do you have to do something to get a gift? No, it's free. Gifts are free. And as a matter of fact, one of your translations of this verse, I think the NIV says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so notice that where gift is on this thing. It's right opposite wages. Gift is the opposite of wages. Wages is getting what you deserve. A gift is something you don't deserve. Okay? Gift is free. And by the way, it may be free to you. All you had to do is receive it. But somebody had to pay for it, didn't they? And that's God. God paid for that gift by sending His Son to take the penalty, to pay our wages for us, to receive the wages that we would have had to pay ourselves. And it's undeserved. No strings attached. So God is the next key word in this thing. And notice where God is on this thing. It's opposite sin. The opposite of sin is God. God is holy. God is perfect. God is true, pure, and just. All these things that are not sin apply to God. Okay, and God will not allow any sin in heaven, and He is of purer eyes than to behold evil, the Bible says. And so that's God, and you can ask them to talk about God in your conversation, and then eternal life. What does eternal mean? It means forever. It means always. It means, you know, never ending. Yeah, exactly. And what is life? Life is over here opposite of death. Okay? So if death is separation, right, what is life? It's being together. Death is separation from God. Life is presence with God. Okay? Eternal life means living with God for eternity. Okay? And so that's eternal life. And it cannot be earned. It can only be received. Eternal life is something that you receive. It's not something that you earn or deserve. And so that's why it's a gift. And of course, the gift is from heaven down to man. And the gift makes it all the way. Okay, so here we are. Sin comes from a word that means, it's an old archery term, meaning to miss the mark. Okay, so we're shooting all these arrows up here at this target, but they never hit. And so sin is falling short of the mark. And we never make it over there. But God is able to bridge that gap right here. And of course, how did He do it? He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. And that cross bridges that gap. And so eternal life through or in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think my version says in. So in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Right here. And so on this napkin, you've written basically every key word of this verse. And you talk about that word in right there. In Christ Jesus. That's where you want to be. You want to be in Christ Jesus. Not, you don't want, you know, God is magnificent, big. You don't want Him in you because you're too puny. You're too small. But you being small, I want to be in Him. Okay, become part of Him. And so being in Christ Jesus. And interesting key word there, Christ. Actually, I've got Jesus Christ. It's supposed to say Christ Jesus in the Greek there. But what is Christ? What does that word mean? Is it His last name? Jesus Christ? Or Jesus the Christ? What does it mean? Anointing? Yeah, no, that's it means the Messiah. Mashiach. Mashiach Nagi, Messiah the Prince. Christ is the Greek rendering for Messiah. And it's a title. And it indicates that He is the promised one. The Old Testament told about Jesus Christ. It told about Christ, that is. And Jesus is our Savior, our Lord. And so what this indicates, the word Christ there, indicates that the Old Testament foretold of all this. And so the gospel is that Jesus Christ became a man. And He died a horrible death on a cross. And then He rose again according to the Scriptures. Christ is all according to the Scriptures. That reminds us of the Old Testament prophecies. And Jesus reminds us of the fact that He is a man, our kinsman redeemer. And then finally, you need to think about our Lord. Okay, because lordship means that, you know, you don't just simply believe. You don't just simply trust, but you obey. Trust and obey. Obey means to do the things that Jesus commands. Jesus says, this is how we'll know if we love Him or not. He says, if you love Me, you keep My commandments. And He is our Lord. He's our Master. And we believe everything He said about that. And, of course, He rose again from the dead to prove He is who He said He was. And so, let me ask you this. You could be here trying to get to God. Or you could be over here moving away from God. Living in sin. Or you could be here in Christ. And so you ask that person, where are you in this thing? And where do you want to be? And they may say, well, I feel like I'm here. Or I'm over here. But I'd like to be here. And you say, you can do that by putting your trust in Him. Making Him Lord of your life. Repentance and faith is how you enter the kingdom. And so, one way we can do that is to simply make it public. Pray a prayer. And ask Christ to come into your life. I can help you with those words right now. I can say the words that you might ought to pray to Christ, pray to God, and you can just follow after me and meet Him in your heart. And you can become a child of God today. And so there's one verse, evangelism. And so, no excuse. If you can memorize this verse, even if you can't memorize it, if you can just get the reference right there and carry a pocket Bible with you, you can lead somebody to Christ by just talking about every key word in that verse right there. And there's not a single word in that verse that you can't talk about freely. You don't need to memorize anything. It's right there. You just go right down the list and talk about those things. You don't even have to use the illustration. You can just talk about them. And it'll be sufficient to talk about the bad news, the good news, and how you receive that good news, how you receive that.